If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to join me in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 27 today. And while you're turning to John 6, verse 22, I want to ask you a series of questions. If you were a piece of bread, how would other people describe you? Right? If you were a piece of bread, how would others describe you? Would they say, you're pretty fresh? Would they say, you're all natural? There's nothing fake about you, nothing fake about that guy, nothing fake about that girl, all natural. Would they say, a little crusty, a little hard sometimes, a little rough around the edges? Or might they say, that dude's moldy, man? Would they say, some half-baked bread, if you know what I mean, right? The dough's still kind of forming in there. Or maybe people would describe you as, man, they are so easy to butter up. You can smooth talk them into anything. I mean, I just wonder, if you were a piece of bread, how would people describe you? Let me ask it a different way. By their description of what they think of you, how might they describe God? Because if we're honest, there are a lot of people that might say about God, God's fresh, man, talking about there's nothing fake about God. Some people see God as a little bit crusty or a little bit moldy. And I wonder if that's because they might think that if we are anything like our God, that's what God's like. Maybe a little half-baked, right? Those Christians, you know, sometimes they're a little different. But they're easy to butter up. They're easy to smooth talk into about anything. I mean, what would they think about you? Then how would they think about God? How do you see God today? I thought it was interesting. I looked up. There's a site called Ranker.com. It ranks stuff, right? And I looked up the best, often bought brand name bread in the Midwest where we live, United States. The top five bread brands that are bought in the Midwest. Number one, I've never heard of this one. Maybe I need to get out from underneath the rock, right? But it's called Brownberry, I think is what it's called. You ever heard of that? Have you used that? Some of you use that? Never heard of that one. Number four was Pepperidge Farm. I've heard of that, not so much because of the bread, but because of the cake, if you know what I'm saying. Number three, I do like a lot, King's Hawaiian. Anybody have any King's Hawaiian? Number two is the package that I grabbed this out of the drawer in our house is Sunbeam. And the number one bread brand in the Midwest United States is Wonder Bread, which is interesting because Wonder Bread originated in 1921. And the Taggart Baking Company was planning to launch this 1.5-pound loaf of bread, and they tagged Elmer Klein, a gentleman with that company in that area, and they tagged him with the objective that he had to come up with a marketable name for this new bread line. So Elmer's trying to think, what are we going to call this? And it said that he got his inspiration after going to the International Balloon Festival. And he said, you know, when I watched and I looked up into the sky and saw all of these colorful balloons all up in the sky, a sense of wonder just came over me, and hence came the name Wonder Bread. Matter of fact, if you haven't figured this out, these little colorful dots, circles on the bread packaging pays tribute to Elmer's wonderment when he saw the balloons in that sky. Hence brought about this 98-year-old namesake called Wonder Bread, the number one brand of bread bought in the Midwest United States. Does anybody know where that bread first originated and what city? I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know this history, but it happens to be it originated in, yes, our very own Indianapolis, Indiana, in 1921, Wonder Bread. So there you go. If you wanted some weird trivia, now you have some for the day. Today, though, I want to talk to you from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, and I want to talk to you about the wonderful bread of life. If you have your text, you're ready to go, let's dive into it this morning. John 6, verse 22, and it starts like this. The next morning, now, we'll stop real quick. We got to stop because I got to bring you up to speed in case you weren't here last week or you missed it. Last week, at the beginning of John 6, we know that Jesus performed the fourth great sign in the book of John. He created, out of five loaves and two fish, he fed over 15, 20,000 people. The Bible records 5,000 men, but you know there were women and kids running around the place, right? So he multiplied that. So they had just seen that miracle in a public way. Many, many people saw it. Later that evening, he was just with the disciples. The storm came up when they were out in the boats and they were crossing over the lake, and Jesus comes walking on the water. That's the fifth miraculous sign in the book of John. But only the 12 saw that. It wasn't the masses. So you got to remember, so these people who had been hungry the day before, Jesus feeds them until they're full, right? They come back the next morning, back across the lake, the crowds, it says, began gathering on the shore because they're waiting to see Jesus. They want to see this guy who fed them yesterday with five loaves and two fish. For they knew that he and his disciples had come over together and that the disciples had gone off in their boat, leaving him behind. Several boats from Tiberias were nearby. So when the people saw that Jesus wasn't there, nor his disciples, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. And when they arrived and found him, they said, "Sir, how did you get here?" Jesus replied, "The truth of the matter is that you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you believe in me." Now, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't really answer the question, does he? How did you get here? He goes, no, let's just shoot straight here. This is what Jesus is saying to him. You're not seeking me because you're seeking me. You're seeking me because of what I've done for you. Let's pause there for a second. Last night, yesterday, we celebrated my eldest son's 20th birthday. It doesn't seem possible. And after family had left, later that night, we got things cleaned up. We went out to eat in Goshen at Culver's. My wife and my son's girlfriend, who stayed the weekend with us to celebrate his birthday, went to the bathroom or something, I don't know, but just left me and my son. And we were just talking. And unbelievable, the conversation turns. He asked me, all of a sudden, he's talking to me about the Bible in John chapter 6, which hit me. I'm like, okay, he's tracking along with us. He's reading ahead like I ask everybody to do. And he's doing that, and he says, "Dad, I've really been thinking about this." He goes, "Yeah." If I'm honest, like, you ask us this a lot, but I really took it to heart, and I'm like, if I lived then and didn't know what I know now, would I have believed this guy when he came? Would I have believed Jesus when he said what he said? He goes, "I'd like to think I would, but I don't know that I would." And I'm like, I'm with you, man. I feel you. And I want you to kind of go there again today. Some of you, if you've grown up in church or you've read the Bible at all, you may know this story well. But what if you were experiencing it for the very first time and all you had was your knowledge from the past, but you don't know what the present holds like them? I'm telling you, this will kind of rock your world. And here's what Jesus is saying to him. He goes, listen, you guys are coming to look for me, but you're not really looking me. You're not seeking me for me. You're seeking me because of what I did for you just yesterday. And you know what? Before we get too like, gosh, these people are so numb in the head, let's just be honest. There's a lot of us that do that, and we know the rest of the story. You see, if we're not careful, you and I can also begin to worship the provision, what God does for me, rather than worship the provider himself, rather than worship Jesus. We can get so consumed with, well, here's what God did, thank you for what you do for me, but it's more about what you do than who you are. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to them in this text. He goes on, he says, but you shouldn't be so concerned. You're coming to me because of what I did. You're coming to me because I fed you yesterday. You're not coming to me because of who I am. You shouldn't be so concerned about your perishable things like food that I gave you yesterday. No, you need to spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Messiah, can give you. Man, stop the press for a second. Did you catch this? This is what my son was saying to me last night. Dad, if I were one of them, and for years our grandpa and his grandpa and you know, down the line had told us there is coming a day when the Messiah will come, and now you're living in that moment, and this guy walks up and I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've heard about. I'm here. Would you believe it? I mean, imagine if somebody else would have walked in this room right now and tell you they're God. Most of us would go, you know? We wouldn't believe that. Why do we think they would any easier then? This really hits me. He says, no, instead of seeking the things that perish, seek the eternal life that I, the Messiah, can give you. For God the Father, watch this, listen to what Jesus is saying. For God the Father has sent me, I'm him, for this very purpose. That's why I'm here. That's amazing. Here's what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying to the crowd, you come seeking what I can provide instead of seeking me. I'm asking you a deeper question because you people aren't getting it. What are you really hungry for? Are you hungry for food that will fill you but then fades? Or are you hungry for food that is continuous and will never run out? It's like, whoa. See, Jesus speaks of two different kinds of foods here, right? He speaks of the perishable. And perishable food, you and I both know, spoils, it molds, it goes bad. Matter of fact, when I pulled this out of the packaging to bring this morning, I looked over at the side, and you know it has one of those things that's stamped right on that packaging. It says, best if used by date, because it's not going to last forever. It's temporary. It's fleeting. It has no lasting life in that, no matter how much preservatives we shoot in that thing, unless you're eating a Twinkie, because that thing can last forever, right? I mean, come on, let's just be straight. Ugh. He talks about perishable food, but then he talks about non-perishable food. This is the kind of food that remains. This is the one that continuously to be present. It is eternal life. It lives forever and ever and ever. There's no decay. It always has life. Jesus says, stop chasing after the perishable. Start looking for the non-perishable. And I'm here, and I'm here. He and I'm come for this purpose. I was sent by my Father. And they replied to him, well, what should we do to satisfy God? And Jesus told them, this is the will of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. I don't know if you caught this. Very subtle, but I want to make sure you get this. And I don't care how long you grow up in the church, somehow it kind of just gets into our theology if we're not careful. Notice their reply. Stop chasing, Jesus says, the perishable things. Start seeking after that which is not perishable. And I, the Messiah, am he. And they say, well, what should we do to satisfy God? Okay, well, just tell us what. Did you catch it? Here's the two words. Underline them, circle it. We do. What should we do to satisfy God? What should we do to be right with God? They're using works language. They have to do something to find the satisfaction in God's eyes. They're using works language. What must we do to be doing the works of God? That's what they're asking. See, we're not so unlike the Jews, if we're honest. Here's what the Jews thought. They thought, if I do good and I do not do bad, or if I do more good than I do bad, I'll satisfy God. If I do the right stuff more than I do the bad stuff, I will be right in my standing before God. And Jesus is saying, this wonderful bread of life, you're missing it. It's not about what you do. It's gifted to you. So what I love about Jesus, he goes to where they're at. They're speaking work language. They're saying, what must we do? So Jesus, in his response to them, he also uses work language because they're not getting this is a gift concept. In the New Living Translation, I love how it says it. Here's exactly how it says it. Jesus responds to them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one that he has sent. Did you catch that? I mean, we make this so difficult, church. The only work that's required of you is this, believe. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that God sent him for this very purpose. You know, like I said, we celebrated my son's 20th birthday. And could you imagine that if after giving him his gift, and he unwraps it, And he's like, oh, man, I've been wanting this. This is exactly what I wanted. And I looked at him and go, glad to hear that, bud. That'll be $40. Matter of fact, it cost me $60, but I'm cutting you a deal today. I'm knocking $20 off. I just want $40 back from you. What kind of dad and a gift giver would you think of me? How much does a gift cost to the person receiving it? Zero. Don't misunderstand. It cost something. I paid for it. My wife and I paid for the gift that we gave him. But I didn't ask him to pay me anything, because a gift, if it's really a gift, is something that's just given. There's no work that he had to do. There is no money he had to exchange with me in order to keep the gift. I mean, I would be a jerk of a dad if he goes, seriously, Dad, $40? Now you're asking me to pay for what you just gave me? That would be terrible. And see, this is exactly what Jesus is saying. This wonderful bread of life is gifted to you. It's just given, and it comes from heaven. Now, imagine, remember what they just said. What should we do? He says, the only thing you have to do is believe in the one he sent. That's what Jesus answers them. Notice their next reply. They replied, you must show us more miracles if you want us to believe that you, the Messiah. I mean, they're just kind of like, are you serious? If I'm Jesus, I'm like, I guess the last 24 hours have just escaped you. I guess you guys suffer from short-term memory loss. Do you not remember what I just did yesterday? Do we need to play the video back? See, that's like some of us too, right? God blows our mind the day before, follows through on something we were hoping for, needed desperately, and he comes through. And the next day, you're like, can you do it again? You got to show us more miracles if you want us to believe you are who you say you are. Perhaps it's not just that they can't remember. Maybe it's the fact that it's just simple, selfish, and shallow thinking. Maybe what that really is what have you done for me lately mentality. And some of us, if we're honest, can do God like that too. Watch what they say now. You ready? Now they're going to talk Jesus' language. Watch this. Give us free bread every day. Oh, we don't have to work for this. So give us the free stuff, right? Give us free bread every day like our fathers had while they journeyed through the wilderness. Now they're going back and, you know, for us, it'd be what was going on in the Old Testament. As the scriptures say, Moses gave them bread from where? Help me out, church, where? Well, to tie in what Jesus is saying now a little bit. Jesus said, Moses didn't give it to them. My father did. And now he offers you true bread from, watch this, heaven. And the true bread is a person, the one sent by God from heaven, and he gives life to the world. Jesus says, this wonderful bread of life, it is a gift, and it's been given, and it comes from heaven, and it is a person. Jesus said, it's me, and I've come to give life to the world. That's my purpose. I'm doing my Father's will. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but this bread that's a gift that comes from heaven, do you remember where Jesus was born? What town was Jesus born in? Anybody know? Not a trick question. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. I don't know if you remember this at the very beginning when we started this John series months ago. There was a point where we were talking, and I explained to you that anytime you see a city's location in the New Testament during Jesus' time era, like we looked at Bethesda, right? Bethsaida, Bethlehem, anything that began with a B-E, that B-E in the original language means house of. And then typically what would follow would often refer to something in that location of that city that everybody would attach to. Isn't it interesting that the gift that comes from heaven when born, when God became human flesh, was born in the city of Bethlehem, which the literal translation means house of, do you know what? Bread. That's what it means. House of bread. The bread of life came and was born in the house of bread in Bethlehem. These Jews were then kind of saying, okay, but hold on. Why don't you do for us like Moses? And he goes, man, you don't get it. I know Moses is your hero, but Moses didn't give you that bread. My father did. And my father, as he gave that bread to them from heaven, he also now wants to give you the same true bread, but this true bread is me. It's a person. I don't know if you ever do this, but I want to do this real quick exercise with you. I want to take you through manna, which was kind of a bread substance. For those of you who don't know the story, in the Old Testament, you might want to go back and read it. But while they were in the wilderness, God provided food for them, sustenance. Every day, he brought bread from heaven. And it was enough for the people could gather and eat it. Okay? Here's what's interesting. When you compare that from the past and what Jesus is saying to them right here in the present, the manna that God gave from heaven came only to the Jews, and it was for the purpose of sustaining their physical life. Jesus comes not just to the Jews, he comes to the whole world, and he comes not to give them physical life, he comes to give them eternal life forever. The manna that God dropped from heaven came at night. Jesus came when men and women were in darkness. Manna came to meet their physical needs. Jesus says, I've come to meet your spiritual needs, and I'm trying to make you aware that you have them. Manna was a gift from God. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Manna had to be picked up and eaten in the moment. If you don't know the story, here's what God would say. Gather as much bread as you can have. You can have as much as you want. But notice this, tomorrow morning, it'll spoil. It'll be gone. It won't matter. In other words, he was trying to teach the Israelites, do you depend on me for your very existence every day of your life? I'll give you enough for what you need today, but not enough for tomorrow because I'll give you fresh tomorrow. I mean, that's the kind of the story, right? So they gathered and they ate it right away because it was temporary. Jesus says, here's the thing. Here's what Jesus does, though. Jesus comes and he says, you got to just receive it and appropriate it because this stuff's going to last forever. What I have for you is going to last forever. See, I think it was intentional that Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life. I mean, if you were Jesus, let me just ask it. This is not a trick question either. This is just kind of fun, just to get your creativity. If you were Jesus, what food would you have chosen to represent yourself? He came and said, I am the bread of life. Why didn't Jesus come and say, I am the filet mignon of life? I'm telling you right now, my middle son would have signed up right then. You wouldn't have to convince him anymore. He'd follow Jesus till he died. Filet mignon of life. Or why didn't Jesus come and say, I am the maple donut of life? I am the pralines and cream ice cream of life. I mean, he could have thought of anything, right? Anything. I think it was intentional. I think it was intentional. He said bread of life. I think it's for a few reasons. Number one, it tied the history for all the Israelite children from the Old Testament and pulled it right into the new. I think if he would have came and said, I am the filet mignon of life, that was a delicacy that is only favored by a few because there are some people that could never afford that. And Jesus came for the whole world. No, Jesus picks a very common staple food that is known universally. He picks bread that most people could relate to on a daily basis and almost maybe at every meal. Because bread is found on the rich man's table and it's also found on the poor man's table. Bread is the food of kings and it's also the food of peasants. It's a staple food. And Jesus is tying himself to this. They said to him about this free bread, this true bread that comes from heaven. They said, sir, give us that bread. When they say that bread, they're talking about that free, true bread that comes from heaven. Give us that bread every day of our lives. Here's what Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one coming to me will ever be hungry again. Those believing in me will never thirst. Jesus is saying, I'm soul food. I am your sustenance. And if anyone, if he or she or we or me would come to him and eat this bread, that bread, watch this, live forever. Live forever. This wonderful bread of life, not only is it a gift, not only is it from heaven, not only is it a person, is it Jesus, but what Jesus is trying to tell them, man, if you eat this, it'll fully satisfy you. You ever been hungry? You ever been hungry and your stomach starts to growl and it begins to make these gurgling noises? My guess is somebody in next service will be sitting there and somebody will go, you know, when that happens, it's kind of embarrassing. Your stomach makes noises out loud. Have you ever had any hunger pains where you just long for food and sustenance? Have you ever done that when you're at home? You begin to look through all the cupboards and you begin to go to the pantry and you open up the door to the fridge and you're starting to see if anything is going to pique your interest. And you see that slice of leftover pizza and you're like, phew. You see that piece of chocolate over here. Or maybe you go into the pantry and you open up a bag of Doritos and you nibble at the chips or maybe some of the crackers for a little bit. And maybe then you see some leftover cake or pie from the birthday and you're like, ugh. And about after a half hour of making your way around the perimeter of the kitchen and just nibbling on a little bit here and there, you're full. But you're not satisfied. See, I'm convinced that you and I often will fill up on stuff that leaves us unsatisfied. And Jesus is saying, the bread I'm talking about will fully satisfy. There are two words in the Greek language for the word life. Say life. You and I don't understand, I don't think as well, in the English language, ours does not give us the oomph that the Greeks had. The Greeks had the word life would also mean what you and I would call bio or biology. You've heard of that in school, right? It's a study of human physical existence or physical sustaining life, biology. That's one way. But the Greeks had another word. They had another word, and it was the word Zoe. The word Zoe actually means not just a girl's name. In the Greek, it meant this. It means life to the full. Maybe we haven't got there yet, but if you read on to John 10:10, Jesus says this. He says, the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have Zoe, that they may have life, and it's to the fullest. It's real. It's genuine. And see, I don't think we totally get that in English language when you hear the word life. We probably think of mostly of physical existence, but not fullness of life. And that's where Jesus is challenging you and I today, I think, out of John, is this. What is your hunger pain today? Or let me say it a different way. What is your hunger, P-A-I-N, hunger pain? You see, these people that were there that moment, as Jesus is speaking to them, their stomachs had blinded them to the aches in their souls. I'm convinced that every human being experiences at least three hunger pangs, P-A-N-G-S, but also three hunger pains, P-A-I-N-S. The first one is this, identity. I've not met a single person ever yet who doesn't want to ask the question, who am I? Who am I? Who am I really? Matter of fact, if you were to ask me that as your pastor, I'd have to dig a little deeper, but I could tell you what the Bible says, you're a beloved child of God. You just may not know it yet, but you are. What about identity? And then another hunger pain that people have is for significance. So watch this, it moves from who am I to do I matter? Does it really matter? Does anybody care that I'm here? Does my life make a difference? Is there any significance that I bring to my family, to my community, to my church? Who am I? Do I matter? And here's the last one. This one's powerful. Does anybody love me? Does anybody love me just as I am, period? That's huge. Make sure you understand. I'm not just talking about love. I'm talking about unconditional love. I'm talking about you love me just as I am. That's it. Sometimes love will want us to change. Sometimes love will want us to be better than what we are now, because as a parent, there may be times, oh, I love my kid no matter what he does, but because I love them so much, I want them to know that they can have an even greater significance. They can even have a greater identity than what they're presently experiencing because of the choices they're making. Absolutely, there's part of that. But every human being longs for these three things. Who am I? Do I matter? Am I loved? Period. Just as I am. And that's why Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And if anybody comes to me, he'll never hunger again. He'll never hunger for his identity. He'll never have to hunger for his significance or unconditional love, because I will give them all to you. That's exactly what he's saying. He'll live forever. He'll have Zoe forever. I love how in John's gospel, I don't know if you've caught this, but as we've been going through from chapter 1 until today, there is always this contrast between the literal and the spiritual. Man, go back and look at this for a second. Look at Nicodemus. When Jesus says, he goes, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. He's like, how do I enter into my mother's womb a second time? See, Nicodemus went literally. Jesus saying, I'm talking about spiritually. Do you remember the Samaritan woman at the well who met Jesus at noon? Nobody else is around. And he's asking for thirst. And he says, man, if you'd ask, I'd give you water, the living water that'll never run dry. She was thinking, literal, where can you get this water? Jesus saying, I am the water. I'm that guy. And now he's coming to John 6, and he says, I'm the bread of life. If you partake of me, if you receive me, if you will eat me, you'll forever be Zoe because of me. You see, this food that endures is a gift. It's freely given. It costs, yes. It cost God his son to die on a cross. But this gift was from heaven given to you and I. It's in the person of Jesus, and it fully satisfies. It's lasting, it's enduring, it's endless. And so the last question I have for you as you walk out of here this morning that I really want you to ponder for a second, I want you to ask yourself this. Are you still wondering? Do you believe? And I want to play off that word wondering in two ways. The first one is simply this. Are you still wondering? In other words, are you here today and you're kind of like scratching your head and you're trying to decide? I'm not sure yet. It's kind of what my son was saying. Dad, if I would have lived then and I would experience this for the first time like they were, would I have wondered or would I have believed? That's a fair question. What have you decided? Are you still wondering? Do you take Jesus for who he says he is, or are you like, eh, not sure yet? And let me say this to you, for some of you. Many times I think that we think or we assume that someone just needs more 411, that someone just needs more information about Jesus before they can be saved. Well, I'm just not sure yet. I need a little more information. It's kind of like those people are saying, show us more miracles, and then we're not sure we believe you are who you say you are. Can I just say this? Sometimes it's not always about needing more information or needing more data. It's not. It's simply an issue of deciding who you're going to allow to lead your life. See, it's not that they just couldn't understand it. They just weren't willing to accept it. And maybe that's you today. Maybe that's been your struggle for a long time. There are some of you here, you don't need to hear another sermon. There are people that you work with, that you live with, that you go to school with, that are in your family. They don't need another sermon. They don't need you to quote them another scripture. They don't need any more data. The reality is simply this. I don't want to accept it. I don't need to understand anymore. I don't want it. I want to lead my own life. I don't need God to lead my life. And you know what? As a pastor, I had to learn to accept that. I've had to learn to step back sometimes and say, matter of fact, about 3 weeks ago, after one of our services, I had somebody come up here and want to talk theology with me about something we just said. And after a while, after talking, here's what I realized. This guy really doesn't want to talk theology with me. He's already made up in his mind, you know what? I'm not going to accept whatever you say, and I'm not going to accept that. He's already decided he's going to lead his own life, and God's not. And after a while, I just started to sit back, and I was nice about it, but I'm like, I realized I'm not going to let this guy take any more of my time, because he's playing. He really doesn't want to accept any of this. He understands plenty of it, or he wouldn't have been able to carry the conversation on that he was having with me. It's just he's unwilling to accept it, and I have to let him go and make his own decision. Is that you today? Watch the end of our text today. Watch this. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. No one who comes to me will I ever turn them away, but they will hunger no more ever again. But the trouble is, Jesus says, as I have told you before, you haven't believed even though you've seen me. But some will come to me. Here's where it gets exciting for me. But there will be some that will come. And some will see him. Those the Father has given me, Jesus says, and I will never, never reject them. For I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to have my own way. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he's given me, but that I should raise them, watch this, that I should raise them to eternal Zoe at the last day. For it is my Father's will that everyone who sees his Son and believes on him should have eternal Zoe, have eternal life, that I should raise him at the last day. Man, to me that's exciting, and here's why. And this is the second part of the wondering. When I ask you, are you still wondering? Man, do you still have a sense of awe that Jesus loves you? That even though you're not worthy, he gives you identity, he gives you significance, and he gives you unconditional love. Do you still have this wonder about it? Like, God loves even me? That Jesus offers even me this gift? Nobody's ever gave me a gift like that. Man, I hope you haven't lost that all yet. I hope that you haven't lost that wonder, even though you already have believed that tomorrow when you wake up, you might just kind of take a moment and go, God, I'm still amazed that you love me. God, I'm still amazed that you choose me and you give me the opportunity to choose you. That the only work I have to do today is to believe you are who you say you are and follow that kind of style of living. Man, that's powerful. See, my friends, there's a difference between eternal existence and eternal life. Everyone is going to exist after their physical death forever. Everyone's going to have an eternal existence, but will you be experiencing eternal Zoe? Will you be experiencing life to the fullness that's real and genuine? That's the question. And the only answer where you can give that will say, yes, I will have not just eternal existence, I will have eternal life, is what have you done with Jesus? Because if you're still wondering, or if you're still saying, yeah, I want to do my own thing, I want to do it my way, and I don't want to give it to Jesus, okay, well, enjoy your time. Because there is a time when he'll come again, and at that time, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And that will determine whether you go to eternal existence or eternal Zoe, eternal life. Not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And trying to give you one last part of data before you make your final decision. What have you decided? Are you still wondering? Are you still at all? And say, thank you, God. Let's pray. God, as we go from this place today, I'm thankful that your Holy Spirit has given me the ability to see you, Jesus, as his Son. And as I choose to come to you, as I choose to say, yes, the work that I'll do is to believe, you promise you'll never, never reject me. So I thank you for that, God. I pray for the one man or the one woman that's in this room today or that's listening to this podcast that's still wondering, not because they need more data, but Lord, they're really not wondering, they're wandering because they're trying to do this all on their own, that you'd bring them to the point where they would see that it's not working, it's not fulfilling, it's not sustainable, but that you are. And for all of us, God, who have believed in Jesus, help us not to lose the wonderment of it. Help us not to lose the awe-ness factor that even me, Jesus loves me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sunday, we're going to finish this. If you'll read John chapter 6, we'll be 41 through 71, and we'll finish this out. We'll see you then.